Thank you. Tonight, of course, the Lord's Supper. I was thinking on a very simple theme in the Scripture, in the Word of God, why we should worship and exalt the Lord. Why we should worship and exalt the Lord. I was reading a little book on the many revivals in the land of Wales over the years, and I was reading about the ministry of Daniel Rowlands, who ministered in the early 1700s. In Wales, one of the famous preachers of that land. And it's interesting, the historical account of that revival, one of the revivals with Daniel Rowlands. What was interesting was the impetus or the beginning or of that time. It says, at that time the experience of the gospel liberty was still very novel and fresh to Rowland, and the actual occasion when the remarkable movings of the Lord were first experienced was while he was reading the litany to his congregation. When he came to the words, "By thy agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by the precious death and burial, by the glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost, good Lord, deliver us." As he came to those simple, great truths about the Lord Jesus and the things of God, the Bible says there in his own heart, there was a great stirring of love, amazement, and thankfulness. And a similar sense of the Savior's love overwhelmed the whole congregation. And many cried out in expressions of praise and thankfulness. And I was reading another revival that took in Wales under Daniel Rowlands, and this was in 1762. And this was on the occasion of the appearance in print of William Williams' collection of hymns bearing the title, "The Songs of Those Who Stand on the Sea of Glass." In fact, I think we have Williams' hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." It's only one hymn of William Williams that we have in our hymn book. He actually wrote over 1,000 hymns in the Welsh Revival in Wales. And he was a great teacher of the things of God, a great songwriter, and the emphasis of all his hymns, he sought to make emphasize on the Lord. And gives us this incidence on the appearance of this great hymn book, "The Songs of Those Who Stand on the Sea of Glass," speaking of heaven. This awakening was especially noteworthy because of the spirit of exaltation which pervaded the people, and also because of its widespread effects. It's talking about the people exalting the Lord. the people exalting the Lord. And you know, if you go to the book Revelation, we see many instances of the exaltation of the Lord. And actually, the book of Revelation is a great book of worship. It's a great book of worship. It's a great insight into heaven itself, to the very presence of the angels and the saints in heaven, and their exaltation and their worship of the Lord. And it would be good to for an individual take time to look at the book of Revelation and just look at the worship of the saints in heaven and think about that. And you know, we have there a reality, but it's also a model of reality of what should be taking place in our lives now. It's a model of really what it means to know the Lord and to practice, not practice, but to be in reality in His presence. And there's obviously many places. Psalms is a great book of worship. And Revelation is a great book of worship. And I see three similar themes of worship in the book of Revelation. Three themes, focuses of what is causing the people to praise and to exalt God and bring glory to His name. I see three things. Number one, because of who He is. Number two, because of what He has done. And number three, because of our relationship to Him and the experience of His redemption. Why we should worship and exalt the Lord. As we think of that even tonight, as we are called to worship tonight in a very special way as the people of God, we are called to worship because of who He is. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. And here we have a glimpse into heaven. The saints of the church age have been raptured. And there they are before the throne with the angels and the four beasts and these cherubim around the throne of God. Verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth and liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So here we have the angels, the cherubim. They are worshiping and exalting the Lord. And what are they exalting Him because of? Because of who He is. Holy. Holy, holy. They are filled with the reality of who He is. And because of that, they must and will and do worship Him. We see that constant theme of because of who He is. Revelation 1 and verse number 5. Tells us that this revelation is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. It's unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. And it says, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now ascribing worship and exaltation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of who He is. Who is He? He is the faithful witness. Who is He? He is the first begotten of the dead. He raised from the dead. He is the resurrected Savior. He is the Prince of the kings of the earth. Who He is worthy of our worship. What He has done, He has loved us. He has washed us from our sins in His own blood. He has made us kings and priests unto God our Father. Who He is and what is our relationship to Him. He has made us kings and priests unto God. He has lifted us up from sinners condemned to hell. Sinners lost, unworthy, undesirable, defiled to the royal position of priests and kings before a mighty God. Why is He worthy of our worship? Because of who He is. Because of what He has done. Because of our relationship to Him. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Here we have another scene in heaven. A glimpse of the scene in heaven. In verse number 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Worshiping the God. Because who is He? Who is He? Because of what He has done. And because of their relationship to Him. Verse 14. And I said unto Him, sir, thou knowest. And He said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they have been redeemed. Their robes are white. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in the temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Yes, they sit upon the throne of God. They are before the throne of God and they serve Him night and day in His temple. Well, because of who He is. Because of what He has done. Because of the relationship that they have with Him. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 15, beginning with verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. There's that phrase, the sea of glass. Mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image. and over his mark, and over the number of his name, and stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. They are worshiping him because, one, because of who he is. He is Lord God Almighty. He is the omnipotent God. Why are they worshiping him? Because he is true. Because he is just. He is just. He is righteous. He will judge the wicked. He will judge unrighteousness. He will reward the righteous. Because of who he is. Because of what he has done. Verse 4. Who he is? Thou who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify in thy name. For thou only art holy. For thou only art holy. The very holy presence of God, the recognition of it, the knowledge of it, should stir our souls. I wonder if maybe not we are in such a defiled world. I wonder if we are not in such a wicked day. I wonder if our soul is vexed by seeing and hearing all the wicked deeds of the ungodly, so that the glory of the holiness of God is darkened or unclear in our hearts and souls, so that we do not worship him and glory in his holiness. The angels of heaven glory in his holiness. They are exalting his greatness. They are worshiping before him because of the fact that he is the Almighty, because he is the holy God, because he is the judge of all the earth. We see in the book of Revelation, we see a people worshiping God. We see a people worshiping God. You know, this worship is a conscious worship. It's a worship that is based on truth. It is a worship that is based on facts. It is a worship based on reality. It's worship based on the very person of God himself. You know, I'm thinking about that. You know, in the front of our hymn book, and actually in this hymn book, it's a very small section. But we have the beginning of the hymn book, and most of the hymns are arranged in categories. And the first part of our hymn book is our hymns about the worship of God. And it is interesting to note that many of those hymns were written in the 1700s. Those great hymns of the worship of God. Now, there are some others, but I just note that so many of them are from previous centuries, many of them in the 1700s. Hymn number 10, O God, our help in ages past. Isaac Watts, 1674 to 1748. We have great God of wonders. Samuel Davy, 1723 to 1761. We have Praise Ye the Lord the Almighty. Joachim Neander, 1650 to 1680. We have Come Thou Fount, Robert Robinson, 1735 to 1790. We have a number of hymns in there from Isaac Watts. We have a number from others of that era. And it's interesting, what is the great theme? These great hymns that have seen the test of time, they are lifting up who God is. They are lifting up what He has done. Who God is. We recently went through a series on the attributes of God. You know, really, as you think about it, the work of God in really reviving His people is many times centered on a consciousness of who God is. Now, God is omnipresent, right? You know, is God here? Is God everywhere? Where shall I flee from Thy presence? He is everywhere. But revival is not God being everywhere all at once. He's always been everywhere. But revival is a consciousness of the reality of the presence of a holy God. But very often, we live outside of that consciousness. Many times, we live outside of really sensing or being aware or of that truth. And God Himself, He was present, gripping our hearts and our minds and our lives. Revival is a renewal of the consciousness of who God is. And of what He has done. I think of that great Welsh hymn of the Welsh Revival. And Here Is Love. You know, I remember a number of years ago, I was a speaker at the Welsh Society of Waukesha County on their St. David's Fell celebration, which is the first of March every year. And I think I picked the... I told them, if I'm going to speak, I'm going to speak on spiritual things. And they said, okay. And so somehow, I can't even remember all that presentation. I should have recorded it. But I spoke on the hymns of the Welsh Revival. And this is before, you know, the Holiness Conference got a hold of Here Is Love and made it quite well known in recent days. And I came across that hymn, Here Is Love. I can't even think of all the words, but just some wonderful words. And I thought to myself, what do we need new hymns for? What do we need new hymns for? Here is truth, great truth encapsulated of the greatness of our God and the greatness of what He has done. And there ain't words in their setting. Lifts up and overwhelms the soul for what Jesus Christ is and what He has done. And that was the great theme of the Welsh Revival. And people were worshiping God because of who they came conscious of who He is. And they were keenly aware of what He had done. And they had partaken of the benefits of His wonderful salvation and their new relationship. And what could they not help but do but worship God? You know, I was thinking even tonight as we sang these hymns. I think, you know, so often we sing these hymns and we don't really consciously think of the words. We sing them because we know them, we've heard them. But we don't, oftentimes we do not consciously think of those words and purposely meditate on those great truths. And let those great truths grip our hearts as even as they were written to grip the hearts of the people of God. And in a limited human form, what those great hymns written, most of them, in time of revival, when there was a renewed sense of the person and the presence of God, the Father and the Son. What was taking place? They were moved by who God was. They were moved by the holiness of our God. They were moved by His love. They're moved by His power. They were moved by His eternity. And tonight, even as we think about this, as we worship the Lord in the Lord's Supper, we ought to be consciously be reminded of His greatness. We ought to be allow the truth, the reality of what He has done to grip our hearts and our souls. We ought to be stirred by the amazing grace of God that He would take lost sinners, take them and make them His children and lift them up to be priests unto God and yet in the future kings and priests in His kingdom. Who are we that have such a privilege to have fellowship with such a holy God? What a privilege to serve Him. We are unworthy even to serve Him. We are unworthy to even say His name. And yet, because of His love and mercy, we have that tremendous privilege. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, I just looked at a few psalms. And those great psalms, we see the same thing. And you can go there. I challenge you to go to Psalms 90 through 100 and in that whole area. And you see again the great themes of why we should worship the Lord. Oh, come into His presence with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. For He is God. Because of who He is. Because we are His sheep. Of His pasture, of what He has done. And our relationship to Him. when we come to church, this is a tremendous privilege. You know, church is supposed to be a little bit like heaven. That's really what church is a little bit modeled after. There is the assembly of the saints. And what is heaven? Heaven is the assembly of the saints. What is church? Church is the opportunity of the assembly of the believers to bring glory and honor and praise to our God. That's what church is supposed to be like. You know, you think about in the Old Testament, the difference, great difference between Saul and David. Saul wasn't interested in public worship. Saul was only interested in using God to further his glory. David was completely opposite. David, he was interested in the worship of God. He was interested in the choir. He was interested in the orchestra. He was interested in the public worship of God. And under David, there's this great revival. A revival of worship of God. The assembly of the people of God. A little bit like heaven. You know, that's what church is supposed to be like. A little bit like heaven. The people of God get to lift their voices in unison, in conscious, purposeful praise to God. You know, that's what church is supposed to be like. I wonder, is it really like that? Or are we a little bit like Saul? We use God so we can get something from Him. Or is the purpose of our life to glorify Him? Do we look forward to the opportunity to serve Him? You know, that's the purpose of this choir up here. Man, that's an exciting thing. People with a voice, people who know how to sing, and they can lift up their voices and they can bring glory to God. Wow. That's wonderful. You know, it's not work. I mean, it is. But it isn't a chore. It isn't something, well, I gotta do it. It's something, it isn't merely a duty. Boy, this is an opportunity to be a little bit like heaven and the people of God. Praising God, exalting His name, lifting up His glory. But you know what? There's got to be something real in our hearts. There's got to be something real in our hearts. You know, the fact is, we aren't going to want to worship God. We aren't going to praise His name. We aren't going to lift up His name if our heart has been deadened by selfishness. Our heart is deadened by the sin of the world. Our heart is deadened by the self-centered entertainment world. No, we aren't going to want to lift up God. But we ought to. What ought to? And maybe we have to do some, maybe we need to do some heart surgery. Maybe we need to do some confession of sin. And say, wow, you know what? There's something wrong. I don't come to church to worship God. I come to sit in a pew. Maybe you come to dare God to do something for you. Maybe you do it out of duty. But it isn't like heaven. It ought to be. It ought to be like heaven. You know, when that song leader gets up, we ought to say to ourselves, hey, this is my opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. You know, there's nothing more glorious than the people of God
singing praise to God from their hearts. Wow. It's got to be real. There has to be a walk with God. And the Lord's house is merely an overflow of our relationship with God from day to day. And it's almost an anxious moment for the people of God to be able to get to the house of God and with the saints of God to bring glory and honor and worship and thanksgiving to our God. Because that's what heaven is like. And that's what our church ought to be like. That's what ought to be real in our own hearts. That's the model we have in the Bible. That's the model we have in the Bible. From the great book of worship, the book of Psalms, to the great picture of the worship of the saints of God in heaven in Revelation forever and ever and ever and ever. Because of who He is. Because of who He is. If the Lord be God, then serve Him. Because He is God. Because of what He has done. The Lamb seated on the throne. The Lamb. The Lord Jesus, God the Son, who died for you and I because of what He has done, because of our relationship to Him. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. He has adopted us into His family. He has made these lowly, lost, hell-bound sinners be kings and priests with Him. Worship. Why should we worship and exalt Him? Why every Sunday should we look forward to the opportunity to do what we can't do the rest of the week? Corporate, assemble, worship of God, just like in heaven. Why? Because of who He is. And because what He has done. And because of our relationship to Him. And those three things, will be dominant truths, realities, the presence of those three truths in our life will make church and our worship of God like heaven. The lack of them will make it ho-hum. The lack of them will be a self-centered, give me something, churchianity, rather than a Christ-centered, worship-centered, service-centered, thankfulness-centered worship of a holy God from the depths of our heart and with the consciousness of our whole mind and soul. That's what it ought to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight as we even sense in a certain way, if we are honest, Lord, we not only sense but we acknowledge that in many situations, and maybe even in a corporate sense, that Lord, that these great realities have been dulled in our life. Dulled. So that we cannot worship. We cannot exalt you with all our heart and our soul. Lord, there needs to be within our own hearts a revival, a renewed consciousness of who you are. Lord, we sense there needs to be a gripping of our soul by the greatness of who you are and the greatness of what you have done. As Creator, as Savior, as coming Judge and Lord. And Lord, in this humanistic age in which man has become the center, Lord, we've lost a sense of how you are our God and we are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, so do a work in our life. Even now, Lord, help us to acknowledge the lack of worship in our hearts. Help us to turn to you. Help us to seek you. Help us, Lord, even now, honestly, in humbleness, that there might be a return of real worship in our lives. May you work, Lord. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. You're here tonight and the Spirit of God has made it clear to you that you know you're far from God. You're not close to the Lord. God is really not far away, but your understanding, your consciousness of it is far away because of maybe sin, because of rebellion, because of worldliness, because of love for the things of this world, for the love of the applause of the people of the world, because of entertainment. And the false worship of the day. And God has put into your heart tonight, maybe even because of a lack of humility, our heart truly is not stirred to worship Him. We come to church and we don't really sing those songs with adoration. With a spirit of adoration. It's not a choice. It's not conscious. It's not contrite. And humbly tonight, you say, you know, that's me. That's me. And I'm sure that every one of us could say that this is a need of our life. But perhaps you tonight, the Spirit of God in His mercy is doing something in your life. And in His mercy and in your humility, you say by an uplifted hand, you know, I want to be back in fellowship with God. I don't want to stay far away from God. I don't want to stay away where my heart is dulled by sin and self and the world. There's work that God needs to be of God and that needs to be done in my life. That so when I come to church, I am glad to come to worship our God. And you say, you know, Pastor, I want God to work in my heart. Young person, adult, say, you know, I need God to work in my heart. And we all could say that. But you are concerned about that. You are anxious about that. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And in humility before the Lord, just by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray with me. I need the Lord to work in my heart. I need the work of God in my heart. The glory and the worship of heaven is far from where it ought to be in my soul. And the Spirit of God is speaking to my heart about that tonight. Just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, pray with me and for me. God is working in my heart tonight. Okay? I see a number of different hands throughout the auditorium. Say, I need God to work in my life. That the spirit of worship might be in my life as it ought. Number of hands. Others, young person, dads, mom, children. Okay? Praise the Lord. Others, amen. 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 Praise God. I need God to work in my heart like he ought. I need it. Okay? Amen. Lord, you said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and he'll lift you up. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Lord, we are a needy people. Restore unto us, Lord, in your needy and hungry people, Lord, the worship of our God. Might you work in our life, Lord. Lord, we pray that it would not just be a momentary stirring because we are in the house of God and the place and the presence of the Spirit of God. But Lord, we need you to work in our lives throughout this week and throughout these days. Lord, you see every hand. You know every heart. In our weakness, Lord, we would pray that you would do in our hearts more than we even are asking for your glory and for your praise and for the worship of your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.